Well, I'm going to have to start by patting myself on the back here, because not only did what I predict happen, but it happened exactly as I predicted it would happen. And that, of course, is the stock free fall of Donald Trump's Trump Media and Technology Group. Now, the only thing I didn't predict correctly was how quickly this would happen, right? I said over the next 6 months, but what I really should have said was over the next 6 days. A couple days ago, I did in fact do a segment talking about how Donald Trump's shares of Trump Media and Technology, even though they were surging last week, I said it's not going to last because eventually the value of that stock is going to be tied directly to the performance, you know, the revenue of Truth Social, which is the only living entity of Trump Media and Technology. So however much money it makes or loses, the stock price in the future is going to be based on that. What happened on Monday is that a new report came out showing that the financials of Truth Social were far worse than anybody thought. It actually lost $58 million last year. Previous estimates had it losing $33 million, and those were apparently way off by $25 million, and it did lose $58 million. And after that news came out, the stock lost 15% of its value, and Donald Trump's shares plummeted. He lost $2 billion, basically. $2 billion in one day, because the value of that stock plummeted so quickly. So the big question is, why was it up last week at all? Well, I did explain that, and I've got a little bit more information to kind of bolster what I said last week. See, what happened is that when you have an IPO, an initial public offering, typically people immediately buy in, and that will artificially increase the stock price for a short amount of time, usually weeks or a few months. But in the case of Truth Social, just a couple days. Because what happened was you had a lot of investors that are now actually speaking to the media that have said, yeah, I went in, I dumped 10,000 into DJT stock, or I dumped 50,000 into it because I knew, I mean, this is a direct quote, I invested $10,000 last Tuesday because MAGA is crazy and they will pump the stock. But these investors, knowing that throughout the week it was going to go up, and there's many of them who did this, they knew that they could buy in first thing on Tuesday when it came out, and then they all sold on Friday. And they made hundreds of thousands of dollars because they were right. The MAGA freaks out there took what little investment money they had, they pumped up the stock, and this is what's called, by the way, a pump and dump. You get all of these early investors, they come in, suddenly the stock price keeps going up, so other people come in like, oh, wow, this stock has taken off. But then those first people, once they've pumped it, they dump it. And once the dumping starts, it doesn't end. So what we saw Monday was not just a reaction to that report showing that it had lost $58 million. It was also the reaction to all those very early, you know, couple days ago investors dumping their stock. So once everybody sees, oh crap, everybody else is selling, I gotta sell, that's gonna lower the price. I don't see how they recover from this. Donald Trump has lost $2 billion this week, literally in a matter of hours. And the only way he can get that money back or retain the value that he already has in it is if Truth Social can show some kind of revenue model to investors to give them faith that, hey, we're going to be okay. This company is going to do just fine. And they can't do that. They have no revenue models. They have no growth plans. They have nothing in the pipeline that would suggest to investors that things are going to turn around, because all of the available data shows that things are actually worse for that company this year than they were last year. They're losing users. They don't even have 1 million active monthly users. And the platform is, as I said last week, effectively worthless. And if this trend continues, it will also be financially worthless long before Donald Trump is able to sell any of his stock. According to a new report from the New York Times, China has been creating fake pro-Trump social media accounts to not only praise Donald Trump ahead of the 2024 election, but also to attack President Biden. Now, here's the thing. When I say China, I'm not necessarily referring to the Chinese government, because based on what I've seen, they cannot link this directly to the Chinese government. But what we do know, according to investigators and, of course, according to the federal government, so take that with a grain of salt, is that we do have accounts originating from China, popping up on social media, usually places like TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. And they are all MAGA 2024, usually have that either in their username or in their actual handle. They all have it in their bios, and these accounts are originating from China, so they're not actual Trump supporters. But these accounts are gaining a lot of traction. One account, according to this report, accused President Biden of not only being a Satanist, but also of being a pedophile. And this account was retweeted tens of thousands of times. Another account said that the Biden administration had sent a neo-Nazi. The CIA sent a neo-Nazi, just one, I guess, over to Ukraine to fight. And that account, that specific post, was actually shared by Alex Jones to millions of people. So these are not harmless little bots being created in China. These are pro-Trump accounts making up fake claims, obviously not having any evidence to back any of it up, but that never stopped MAGA freaks here in the United States either. And they're getting retweeted by some of the biggest accounts on social media. Now, this is, of course, reminiscent of what happened in 2016. Because in 2016, we had all of these little bot farms overseas, a lot of them originating from Russia. Yes, that did happen, where you had Russian companies basically creating these fake pro-Trump accounts, going out there on Facebook primarily is where they were using it in 2016, putting out all these ridiculous articles about Hillary Clinton, making the same kind of claims about her. She worships Satan. She's involved in the pedophile ring. All these crazy things. The problem is social media companies, especially now that Elon Musk owns Twitter, have pretty much made it clear that they're not going to do anything about this. Facebook actually closed down their division that monitors political misinformation this year, like a massive election year. And Meta, the parent company of Facebook's like, nah, we don't need to look at that stuff. What's the worst that could happen, right? Well, we're already seeing it. And if these accounts are originating from China, I have no doubt we're going to see them coming from Russia. They've done it before. They'll do it again. We have seen them come from the Middle East. We have seen them come from other parts of Europe. And the way this works is that you will have an individual, sometimes an individual from the United States, that goes over to one of these countries, and they create what are called bot farms. You basically have a team of people. They create multiple different accounts, and sometimes they even create fake news websites, which we saw tons of in 2016, and they just churn out the absolute worst, most ridiculous conspiracy theories about Democrats you've ever seen. And then the fake accounts will tweet out these stories, right? They're coming from websites that look like legitimate websites. That's why you saw all your right-wing relatives posting on Facebook back in 2016. It's like, oh, the DailyEagle.news told me this. Oh, PatriotInfo.net says this, right? Like websites that aren't even real. Nobody's ever heard of them. And it's because they were coming from these troll farms. And it's going to happen this year. And based on what we're seeing, it's probably going to be so much worse than it was in 2016. Social media companies knew back then that it was happening. They got in trouble for letting it happen. And they've already let us know this year, they're not going to do a thing to stop it. From the upper echelons of the Trump campaign to Republicans in Congress and all the way across Republican media, They are freaking out about the fact that Donald Trump does not have enough money to effectively run for president. Compared to, of course, President Biden, who in a single event last week, along with former presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton, raised $25 million in a night. Republicans are freaking out because they do not know how to fight the Biden money machine, because Trump's not raising hardly anything, and the paltry amount that he is raising is, of course, going to pay his legal fees. On top of that, we had the RNC come out with their idiotic plan about a week and a half ago, where they said, hey, we're going to team up with Donald Trump's Save America Political Action Committee, which is the group that's paying Trump's legal bills. We're going to do joint fundraisers, give them half the money, and we're going to take half the money, which is the RNC admitting we can't directly pay for Trump's legal fees, so we found a legal way to get around that. So if you give us money, just know half of it is probably going to go pay Alina Haba. Well, guess what? Turns out Republican donors don't like that idea at all. Because you have plenty of big-time Republican donors out there who don't want to give a dime to Donald Trump for his legal fees, but they don't mind giving money to the Republican National Committee, right? Like, I'll give it to the party. I'm not going to give it to that guy because I know what he's going to do with it. But I have no problem giving it over here, and then they can give it to candidates running in races, and they'll be okay. But that's not the case anymore. And because of that, Republicans, again, including the Trump campaign, starting to freak out a little bit. You had Fox News host Brian Kilmeade, who said, quote, "They're going to outraise Republicans. I think that goes without saying, especially when the president's got to diverge some of his fees for courts. And there's no doubt about it, he's a one-man army, and he's going against really three presidents." Here's the thing, Brian. Trump doesn't have to do that. Right? I mean, doesn't he have hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank still, even after paying the bond this week? Isn't he allegedly a billionaire? He can pay his own legal fees. He absolutely has enough money to pay his own legal fees. So don't sit there and tell your Fox News audience that Trump has to do this. Trump is choosing to do this because he doesn't want to pay out of his own pocket. Then, of course, you had Charlie Kirk, right-wing pundit and provocateur, who said, "Tonight will be the largest fundraiser in political history, $25 million in hard money raised in a single evening for Biden. This is more raised in one night than Trump raised the entire month of February. Democrats are beginning to fine-tune their messaging, and they have a standing army of 5,000-plus full-time organizers on the ground in key states. We are outgunned and will be outspent. The polls are tightening. Time to get to work. The country is at stake." I think one of the things Charlie Kirk is referring to there is a report that actually came out last week that said that Donald Trump doesn't have a ground game in the swing states. So that's also a problem, right? Like, you've got to have campaign headquarters in every state, especially if you can't do every state. You got to have it in the swing states. But he has no ground game. He has no people going door to door. He has no local offices. That's not a thing he's done. He's canceled his rallies. As of right now, there is not a single Trump rally on the calendar again. He has to do something, and he doesn't know what to do. Republicans clearly don't know what to do. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. They are in hell, but it's a hell that they created for themselves. Y'all went all in on Donald Trump. Your small dollar donors went all in on Donald Trump after the 2020 election. They're tapped out now. The big dollar donors, they don't want to give because they don't like Trump either. I know most of them will eventually come around. But right now, there is a severe financial crunch in the Trump campaign and the Republican Party as a whole, and none of them have any idea how to fix it. Donald Trump's lawyers actually tried to argue to Judge Juan Merchan this week, the judge who, of course, is overseeing the upcoming criminal trial in less than 2 weeks now. They argued to him in a court filing that he has to postpone this trial indefinitely. Like, not 30 days, not 60 days. They asked him to just postpone it indefinitely because the pre-trial publicity has just tainted everybody in New York, and there is no way Donald Trump can get a fair trial. In other words, they're literally trying to argue that, hey, this guy's too famous. Everybody's got an opinion of him, right? They love him or hate him because he's so famous, and therefore you cannot prosecute him because of how famous he is. That might be the dumbest legal argument I have ever seen from Trump's lawyers. I mean, it makes me wonder. I know Alina Habba's not working on this case, but is she secretly working on this case? Because that is how stupid that argument is. But Trump's lawyers totally swear they have evidence to back this up, because they claim in their filing that, hey, it almost sounds like Family Feud. We asked 400 New Yorkers if they thought Donald Trump was guilty, and they all said yes. Oh, okay, so you took a poll. You found 400 liberal New Yorkers, shocker, right? And they all said that they think Trump did it. Wow. Well, I guess case closed then. Let's just dismiss all the charges against Donald Trump, because 400 chosen New Yorkers all said he did it. Now, I am willing to bet that Trump's lawyers did ask 400 New Yorkers their opinions of Trump. And I'm willing to bet that they also tried to specifically find liberal people to ask them. But here's the thing. Even if it was a random sampling of 400 New Yorkers, that still doesn't change the fact that you can't file this kind of motion. Because the things that you are concerned about, right, like these pre-trial prejudices, are what you're supposed to weed out during jury selection. So what you're actually telling the judge, in addition to the fact that Donald Trump is too famous to be prosecuted, you're also telling the judge that you're not good at your job and you don't think you can weed out people in jury selection that already have preconceived notions of Donald Trump's guilt or innocence. That's not the judge's fault. The judge does not have to indefinitely delay the trial because you can't do your job as a lawyer during jury selection. Guess what? You're going to have people on that jury walking in there who think Donald Trump is already guilty. You're probably going to have a couple people on that jury who walk in on day one and think Donald Trump is innocent no matter what. It's the job of the lawyers during jury selection to have their questions ready and to be able to tailor their questions to prospective jurors in order to weed out the preconceived notions. That's what lawyers have to do. On top of that, if you end up with jurors, like I said, who already think Trump did it, then convincing them he didn't is also your job. Like, that's what you're supposed to do at trial. Let's be honest here. Every human being that exists has biases. We all do. It's inherent in human nature. We have biases. And if the lawyer does their job correctly, those biases of those people on that jury will be pushed aside and replaced with evidence that you present to them. If you can't do that as a lawyer, then you shouldn't be a lawyer. You don't get to go and tell the judge, hey, my guy's just too darn famous to be prosecuted. No, it's your job to convince the jury that he didn't do what prosecutors say he did. And again, if you can't do it, then he's gonna be found guilty. But that's not because those people are biased. It's either because the evidence was overwhelming and you couldn't refute it, or the evidence was mediocre. You're just really bad at your job. Listening to today's Fair and Balanced Daily. Stay up to date with all of our content by finding us on YouTube at youtube.com/fairandbalanced and follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Fair and Balanced.